Nelson Figueroa Jr., the Mets analyst on SNY, and he joins us on Baseball Central. Nelson, thanks so much for doing this.
How you doing, guys?
We're doing well. As well as you know this team, as much as you've seen this team, as much as you appreciate this team, are you surprised that they were able to do to the Cubs what they did to the Cubs as conclusively as they did?
I think it was a shock to everyone. After you had such a hard series against two of the best pitchers in all of baseball, Greinke and Kershaw, with the Dodgers, and having to face them twice each, you looked at it as an opportunity to say, wow, we got past that. And then you turn the page and holy cow, it's the Cubs who wound up beating the Cardinals, the best team in baseball, handily. And then you say they were 0-7 against the Cubs, and you looked at the matchup and said, wow, this could not end well. And all of a sudden, it just clicked. A guy named Daniel Murphy caught fire, and everyone else started to believe, and the starting pitching, I think the confidence was at an all-time high, having beat Greinke and Kershaw and getting past that first series, knowing that they could pitch against anybody.
Well, with Daniel Murphy, you just mentioned his name, being as hot as he is, that to me says World Series starts. Teams are going to try and pitch around him, make somebody else beat them. To me, that guy's got to be Lucas Duda. He obviously had a better NLCS, but how important will he be in the World Series?
Oh, he's huge. I mean, he's one of the streakiest hitters in baseball. We've seen him do it a couple times this season where people were saying, well, he's not showing the power from last year, and then boom, he goes on a tear and hits, you know, 7 home runs in 10 games, and you realize what this guy is capable of. He caught fire again yesterday, squared up some balls. It was not just the home run, which was a big kind of a relief for the Mets to get those 3 runs right away, but he also squared up 2 other balls, line drives over the second baseman's head. They got all the way to the wall in right field. So that lets you know he's seen the ball very well again and putting a good swing on it. So he really makes that lineup so much deeper. You have to, with the streak that Murphy's going in, like you said, they're going to kind of try and work around Murphy. And then you have Cespedes behind him. And then behind Cespedes, you have Duda. It really makes for a very formidable 3, 4, and 5.
You know, when you look at the guys that Daniel Murphy homered off of, Clayton Kershaw, Zach Greinke, John Lester, and Jake Arrieta, it's like, you know, it's like, I mean, he's certainly not picking his spots. to say the least, he's certainly not he's not getting too many cheapies. What is he doing this series? Is it the way teams are pitching him? Has he made a change in approach, or what explains a sudden success?
Well, I mean, it really comes down to focus. And you know, over 162 games, it's a long season. Every at-bat, it's hard to have that laser-like focus and that preparation when you're going to see the best of the best pitchers. Daniel Murphy is a cage rat. You know he was studying up on Kershaw and Greinke long before that season ended. When they realized that they clinched and this is who they were going to face, he was studying tendencies. He was studying all kinds of things, anything that would give him a little bit of an edge. And then he goes out there, and his approach at the plate, he's the hardest guy to strike out in all of baseball to begin with. So you know he had that going for him. He's not going to expand his strike zone, and that's where Greinke and Kershaw excelled. And Jake Arrieta also this year, Lester, has made a career off of throwing pitches that look like strikes and end up not being strikes. Murphy does a great job of laying off those. But the biggest difference has been he's not just hitting the ball for singles, maybe an occasional double. He's hitting the ball out of the ballpark. And I think that's what's really floored everyone, including Daniel Murphy, who says there really is no explanation. I'm just trying to put a good swing on the ball, and I'm not missing. I mean, we named those starters. To me, it was even more impressive. He already had 3 hits last night. The Mets are up handily. He's up against Fernando Rodney, who, you know, he's probably have very little a success or a facing Rodney before. You see him go, and Rodney is one of the most deceptive pitchers in baseball. Goes from an 83-mile-an-hour changeup to a 96-mile-an-hour fastball back and forth, and he's able to be on that 96-mile-an-hour fastball out over the plate and drive it out to center field. So it's not just the pull power that he showed against some of the other guys, but he's able to drive the ball to deep center field. So that's when you know this thing is just getting out of control.
Nelson Figueroa is the Mets analyst on SNY. one of the other guys who I thought was really huge in this series and has been huge through the postseason, Curtis Granderson. I mean, his stolen bases set the tone. And I know some of that goes as well to Terry Collins and the way he managed the game. But stolen bases set the tone. And Nelson, his ability to come up with a big hit and two strikes. I mean, this is exactly what you need in the postseason when you're facing, for the most part, guys who are the other team's best pitchers in the biggest situations. And I just can't say enough about the approach I've seen from Granderson with two strikes.
No, he's been tremendous. I mean, he only struck out one time going into last night's ball game. He had only struck out one time. And that, to me, speaks volumes of he's done a great job of filling that leadoff role and not being a traditional leadoff hitter. His approach all year long was to try and see a lot of pitches. But he did have a lot of chase in him. He struck out once every, like, 4.5 at-bats. Now you go to the postseason, and in his 27 at-bats, he struck out one time. 29 at-bats in the postseason, he struck out one time. So that just shows you how locked in these guys are and how prepared they are. So Kevin Long and the rest of the staff really honing in on, listen, you're going to have to get mistakes, and they may make one mistake in the whole game to you, but you got to put it in play and put it in play hard. And Granderson has done that. Combine that with the approach of really switching it up. The Mets aren't known for speed. They're out there trying to steal bases. Wilmer Flores had a stolen base and a triple in the same ball game. We couldn't contact Elias on that one, but I don't think it's ever been done by Wilmer Flores in his career. David Wright able to take the extra base. Daniel Murphy heads up on the base paths throughout these playoffs. So the Mets have been very aggressive on the base paths, where if you were scouting them all year long, that's kind of something that you wouldn't even notice about the New York Mets, something you wouldn't even pay attention to, and they've taken advantage of that.
Nelson, how, in your eyes, how well has Terry Collins handled the Matt Harvey situation? You know, that in a clubhouse, especially with the other 24 guys, unless you have a really good manager that deals well with players, that could have went south in a hurry. In your eyes, how well did he manage that situation?
If this was the Terry Collins of old, where the Anaheim days or even the Astros days, where he had a player kind of being singled out for special treatment, he would have held a grudge.
Mm-hmm.
He would have treated him differently. He would have made it known how unhappy he was about the situation. And the only thing that we saw to Terry as far as emotional reaction to it was when he pulled him in that Yankee game after five innings, and he was dominating the Yankees, and it was a big game because they wanted to, you know, try and tie up the Subway Series, and it would have done that for them. And he had to pull Matt Harvey, and the media just kept poking and poking and poking for the answer that they finally wanted. And he said, "You think was I upset that I had to take out Matt Harvey? You goddamn right I was upset."
Mm-hmm.
And that showed you right there that he had to let that out. He had to let that out because he has these personal relationships with these players. They come to his office. They sit and talk with him. He talks with them directly to find out how they're feeling, how they're doing. And when there are limitations put on that he can't control, but he has to realize that it's for the better of the player and for the team. I think all those guys, how they were handled in September going down the stretch, each one getting skipping a turn in the rotation, getting 10 days off in between, you saw them come back with liver fastballs, fresher arms, able to really sit back and watch the other guys pitch and how they went about their business of pitching backwards with power arms. That's something that's rare in this ball game, that normally you get guys that throw 95 to 100 miles an hour. It becomes an ego thing of see if you can hit this. And you learn very fast in the major league that gets turned around quickly if you can't do anything else.
Nelson, who's the fourth guy? Who's the guy that's going to pitch the fourth game in the World Series? And in your eyes, who is the best guy to pitch the fourth game? Could it be Bartolo Colon, maybe?
It could be. Quite honestly, it could be. Bartolo Colon has been as consistent as anybody down the stretch. He went to the bullpen and revamped his mechanics sometime in August. For him, it was a big pride thing also. He saw the writing on the wall with all these young studs in the top of the rotation. It was going to be hard for him to crack the rotation, but to get to the postseason, he was leading the team in wins. Innings pitched. While everybody else had limitations, Bartolo was pitching more. Bartolo was pitching out of the bullpen, even down and towards the end of the season. The other thing that you realize is that Bartolo is known as a guy who doesn't throw an overpowering fastball, 88 miles an hour, but he throws it 84% of the time. That's unheard of in today's game, to have a below-average fastball and throw it so much. So he went into the bullpen, figured out how to throw, tighten up his slider and use his changeup more in a game. And now all of a sudden he was a three-pitch pitcher, and it surprised everyone because the scouting report said this guy doesn't throw anything but a fastball. So with movement, location, he was able to do that. Now you see him pitching out of the bullpen, back-to-back days, two innings at a time, and really looking tremendous, blowing away hitters with his fastball. And it's funny to see him do it with the 88 to 91 mile fastball when they just finished facing a guy who threw 100. So Bartolo has been just a breath of fresh air for this team, an exemplary pitcher to, it's all about location, mixing up your pitches, and not having fear of contact. He does that very well.
Nelson, we're going to let you run. Appreciate you doing this. It is kind of cool to see the Mets back in the World Series, I have to admit.
That's very cool.